We're doing our class on dating. We had discussed the first date. We had discussed the importance of choosing a place where you can get a drink, a place where there aren't dogs, having the conversation flow. The date has to be a minimal of an hour and a half. It's a normal time. If it runs into 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours, so long as you end at a decent hour and make sure it's comfortable for her. When you're walking on the date, it's recommended that you sit down. Some people have their dates in a specific setting. So if you go to a hotel lobby, that might be very nice, but it might not be so nice. Sometimes sitting down opposite someone can be very tedious. And sometimes if you go for a walk and you have scenery and you sit down and you walk a little and you sit a little, sometimes that helps the conversation flow. People will sometimes get very uptight if there are moments of silence during a date. Don't get uptight. You can walk quietly next to one another. Nothing happens. The conversation died. In 20, 30 seconds, it'll pick up again. If you start getting uptight and make stupid conversation, then the conversation won't be rejuvenated. But if you let it ride and you walk quietly together, that's why it's difficult to sit in a hotel lobby. Because when it's quiet, you don't know what to do. You don't know what to look at. You're sitting there quiet. And then you go like, we're supposed to talk. And she says, then say something. And you say, I just did. Okay, now. Okay, but if you're walking, it's less, you know, it's less uncomfortable when there are gaps of silence. That is not an indicator as to whether the couple's going to work or not. Sometimes it takes time for us to learn one another's interests and the conversation to flow. Chemistry can take time to develop. Some people have it right away, and some people, over time, the chemistry develops. So long as there aren't too many quiet gaps, that's okay. It's important during the conversation to ask her opinion. I recommend asking her opinion before you state yours. If there are things to talk about, you want to know what she thinks. I also recommend giving stories where you give legitimacy to two sides of the story. So let's say we're talking about a dress code in a school. So you can come to the conversation and say, I see the schools where they have dress codes, and it's terrible that they take away the free will from a child, and all the children have to look the same, and they're like cookie cutters, and it's part of indoctrinating children with everyone having the same opinion, the same thought, the same dress. What do you think about a dress code? What's she supposed to say? She might say, well, I've seen where sometimes it's not so bad, but she's a little bit limited. You just presented a very strong view. Whereas if you come in and you say, look, I've heard that there are a lot of benefits to a dress code. I've heard that schools, even non-Jewish, non-religious schools, have found that a dress code helps the children feel associated. It helps the children behave better. It takes away the competitiveness of dress. It helps the students in the school. On the other hand, I hear that there are some students who feel it takes away an element of self-expression. And I can see that sometimes a person will feel like, he's lost in the crowd. It's a sea of blue shirts. Who are you? I'm wondering, what do you think about a dress code? Here, you gave legitimacy to both sides. Now you hear her opinion. It's nice if you can see both sides in an argument, and it's nice if you can give her the freedom to express her opinion. If you really want to know what she thinks, then you sort of have to give her that leeway. What sometimes happens is that a girl is interested in a guy, or a guy is interested in a girl. And even though they don't necessarily agree on certain points, they're not interested in making an issue of it. So they'll just let it slide. You want to know. An example. Should we have a television at home or not? So you could come into the conversation and say, people need a break. People need some free time. There are educational shows. You want to expand your children's horizons. You have a TV at home. You could show them what's going on all over the world. Just sitting in the comfort of your own home, a child could see National Geographic, and he could know what's going on in New Guinea and dinosaurs and who knows what. I don't understand these people who take away this tool from their kids. And she's sitting there thinking, oh my gosh, I don't want a TV. And then she says to herself, he's a good guy. He's a Torah guy. And he listens to his rabbi. He'll talk to his rabbi, and he'll suddenly discover that children don't sit there watching National Geographics. They expand their horizons, and it's not only in National Geographics. And here in Israel, they have the European standard for television, where pornography is actually shown. He's not understand this. And she's thinking to herself, why should I argue with him? We'll cross that bridge when we get there. I've seen couples do this, and suddenly they're married. And one of them has the TV running 24/6, hopefully, not 7, I hope. And the other one is dead set against television. But But one of them didn't want to argue about it when they were dating. And then after the marriage, it becomes a real issue. So instead of coming in and saying, you know, television is terrible, you would never have these people in your living room. If Charles Bronson would knock on your door, you'd call the police. You know, be my guest. No! Right? What would you do if you saw Arnold Schwarzenegger standing outside your door? You'd put on another lock on the door. Excuse me, I want to enter your house. You'd say no. So now you're letting your child sit there and talk to him? Your child is going to see that? That's your education? Do you let your child walk around and hear people talk this way? So now that's what's going to be in your house? You can walk into the date and express all the reasons why television is a bad thing, and then ask her, what do you think? Now what's she supposed to say? She'll say, yeah, I hear that. Right? You didn't hear her opinion. So when we bring up topics, it's nice if we can say less about the topic, bring it up as a topic for discussion, and only after we've heard what she thinks about it can we actually discuss our opinion, our approach, what we would like to see. And people will sometimes say, when we're married, do you think that? And it can freak a girl out, especially on a first date. She might say, I don't think that. No, I don't think. And you'll say, why not? And she'll say, because I don't think we will be married. You know, that's not the way to talk. It's not fair to talk that way. You can talk about what are your goals, what are your aspirations, how do you envision, how do you view this. We're going to hold on questions now because we're short on time. We've got a lot to cover. What are we looking for in our conversations in marriage? So no one knows where life is taking them. Life has surprises. One person has to deal with medical challenges. Another person has to deal with neighbors who are terrible. Another person has to deal with financial challenges. Still another person has to deal with in-laws that come and visit him twice a day and don't leave at night. Every person has challenges that they don't necessarily know in advance what's waiting for them. Another person has children who have educational issues. There are a million challenges that can come our way. So when we're dating, we can't really encompass what life has in store because we don't usually know. So what we're discussing can be described with the following allegory. Imagine you're climbing a mountain. You and a friend, and your right leg is tied onto your friend's left leg. Now, you ever see these races where you tie one leg to the other one's leg and you run together? So you guys are walking hand in hand, right? You have arm in arm. Your right leg is tied to their left leg. And if you just go 1, 2, 1, 2, you're okay. You're climbing the mountain. You're fine. And as you climb the mountain, you look up the mountain and you see rocks tumbling towards you. But they're tumbling relatively slowly. And so long as you both agree, let's go left, let's go right, you could keep climbing the mountain. The problem begins when there's a boulder headed your way and you say, let's go left. And your friend said, let's go right. And you say, no, let's go left. And they say, no, let's go right. And the boulder keeps approaching and you're fighting. That's where you have issues. That's where the boulder becomes dangerous. So long as you agree, if you go left or right, you keep going up the mountain, you're fine. The mountain is the mountain of life. And the boulders are the challenges that come our way. And when those challenges come our way, we will have to modify from the course we were planning. And life is filled with modifications. You thought you were going to have job X, and suddenly you discover you got to be looking at job Y. You thought you'd be living in city X, and suddenly you're living in city Y. You thought you'd have such and such a relationship, such and such an income, suddenly you have a different income. You thought you'd be able to function, and suddenly you discover you have a child that needs your attention 4 or 5 times a night. There are different challenges, and they force us to modify our plans for life. I remember when the first baby was born and we suddenly had to take turns. Who's going to be awake with the baby? Suddenly you're not sleeping the night straight. Suddenly you have to go to sleep earlier and wake up earlier, or go to sleep later and wake up later. It's not what you were planning, but the baby demands their care and you both got to find time to sleep. So you divide the responsibility. Suddenly you're shifting from the path you were on. That's okay. So long as we're shifting in the same direction. But if you walk into the house and tell your wife, honey, I got to go to sleep on time, and I got to get up on time, and the baby will have to manage. And your wife says, the baby's crying, and we have to get up and deal with the baby, and you have different views, and neither one is going to compromise, you have a problem. What's going to happen? you can ignore the issue and she can crash and then you'll come back and pick up the pieces. And when she crashes, suddenly it'll be a little bit more difficult to pick up the pieces because there'll be much more to deal with because you didn't work it out in advance. And in life, sometimes we do that. You hold on to yours, she holds on to hers. Sometimes it's not critical and sometimes it is. So what we're checking out when we're dating is we're trying to figure out when challenges will come up, what will we give in on? How do I know what I'll give in on? How do I know what will be first to go? So for some person, you know, if I need your help and I need you to do shopping, I need you to take care of the baby, so stop learning Torah. So you'll come home and you'll help. You'll go back to learning Torah in 3 months, and 5 months, and 3 years, and 5 years. Don't worry about it. For another person, you stop going to Minyan. For another person, you make a smaller shop. For another person, you take a little bit less time at work. What are my priorities? What we're trying to figure out when we're dating is, number one, we want to see if we're compatible and we have chemistry. But number two, do we share priorities? And that's important because in life, we will have to make sacrifices. Things will have to be sacrificed. How do we decide what we sacrifice? Well, that decision is based on your priorities. And so, about 3 weeks ago, there were a series of shootings in the Benjamin region. And then they made a protest that we cannot allow this to happen on a daily basis where they're shooting citizens, they're shooting civilians, and the government's not reacting. And people had a question. For some people, they were supposed to go to a shir. For some people, they were supposed to have a date with their wife. For some people, they were supposed to sit down and learn with their kids. People have plans in life. But there's a protest, and the protest is important. Does the protest override the time you were supposed to learn with your children? Does the protest override a PTA? Does the protest override a date with your wife? Does the protest override your chavrusa and learning? The protest is at 6:30. It was 6:30 to 8:30 p.m., right? That's a time where people are usually, they have plans. Does protest override dinner with the family? So every person could come and say, hey, I got plans, and no one will show up to the protest. Every person can say, no, nothing's important. I'm going to the protest. Well, who's right? Priorities. So that's something we have to discuss on a date. What are our priorities? If I'm going to say that I can forgo my learning for taking the kids to the dentist, I can forgo my learning for going to a protest, I can forgo my learning for going on a date with my wife, well, guess what? You're never going to learn. If you can forgo your learning for everything under the sun, then you're never going to learn Torah. You could say, when am I going to take the kid to the dentist? I don't know. Maybe you should go Friday morning. Maybe you should go Thursday night. Maybe you should find a dentist that has hours that you could do during your break at work. Maybe you should take time off of work to take the kid to the dentist. I don't know the solution. And I'm not. The issue is not going into the specifics. The issue is figuring out our priorities. Now, if you sit down and you ask a girl, okay, give me a ladder. Tell me your priorities. You got nothing. You will only understand her priorities through stories and through examples. But what you're really trying to understand during the date, after you've seen chemistry, you want to see that we have the same values, the same priorities. The same values, the same priorities. Priorities is how much weight do I give to my value system? Within my value systems, when I have to give, another good example, how do you choose where you're going to live? So some people say it has to be close to work. I go to work every day. I don't want to spend my life commuting. Other people say there has to be a nice nightlife. I come back from work. I want to have something to do with my family. I want to have something to do with my wife. Still other people say it has to be a positive community with a positive Torah influence. My children have to have positive friends. I'm willing to drive the extra mile. I'm willing to spend the extra time commuting. What's important to me is that my children will have positive role models, positive friends, a positive environment. And the nightlife, when I have to, I'll go out with my wife and we'll find a place to go out on a date. I personally think that that should be the priority. When you choose a place to live, you got to figure out it has to work with your parnasa, but within that confinement, you still have to find a place that's correct for the Torah lifestyle you want to lead. You want your friends, you want the shul you daven in, you want your children's friends to be people who are going to be positive role models, positive influences on your children. You end up becoming your children's education. You end up becoming your children's education. If you send them to a school which has a lesser quality, a lower level of observance or aspirations, so then that's what your house will become. You will become your children's education. And so you have to decide, when you want to know what type of house you want to build, you have to decide where what education you want to give your kids. So when we discuss where a couple should live, part of what you're discussing is priorities. One girl will say, I need to live in the country. I need to live where there's open grounds. I can't stand the city. Another girl will say, I can't stand the country. You got to go to the bank. You got to travel 3 hours to get to a bank, to a post office. That's not the issue. That's something which you can discuss. That's not an issue of priorities. That's an issue of preferences. You got to make that work. I don't buy it when a couple says, we couldn't get married because she wanted to live in the north and I wanted to live in the south, so we couldn't get married. To my mind, then they're not marriageable to anyone. If you can't work out your preferences, then I don't see how you could work out a marriage at all. In life, there will be conflict of preferences. Figure it out. Find a meeting ground. That's irrelevant to me. The only thing that's relevant there, to my mind, is the question of can you find a meeting ground? And you should be able to find a meeting ground. In almost every instance, there is a meeting ground. That's with regard to preferences, with regard to values and priorities. There you have to see if you're on the same page. We are looking to be 85% concentric circles. When you have one circle and another circle, how much should they overlap? 85%. There's always going to be that 15% where you're different, and that's important. That's where you complement one another. But on 85% of the matters, you have to have the same vantage point. You have to have shared values. If you don't have that 85%, then it's a formula for disaster. You're going to be fighting all the time. You want to see how the person talks about other people. So even though we're not into talking Lashon Hara, but when we speak, we're not only interested in hearing what she's saying, we're interested in hearing recurring themes. There are people who view the world positively. There are people who view the world negatively. When you talk to her about her siblings, about her parents, about her relatives, ask her what children are in her life. Listen to how she talks about children. When she says, they're impossible, they're all over the place, they're taking everything apart, you've learned something. They are. Children are very difficult. But the question is that what I'm focused on? It's not easy to raise children. You know, I'm not wearing the shoes I want to wear today. I usually wear sandals. But I don't know where my second sandal is. One of the kids sabotaged it. So after about a half hour of searching this morning, I gave up. So yeah, that's part of life. You know how many toothbrushes I went through this year? Because the kids take control of my toothbrushes, and I don't know what they do with it. Sometimes I don't want to know. But, okay. Raising children involves a certain amount of stamina, and it takes a certain amount out of you, but is that the focus? Is that what we're going to talk about? I'm not telling you which wife to choose. I'm saying pay attention to the tone. Pay attention to which aspects of life are being stressed. Excuse the pun. And pay attention to the person. Our conversation should flow. I do not believe in coming with questions, as we discussed last week. This isn't the job interview. Talk about life. Talk about ideals. Talk about values. And let the conversation flow. As the conversation flows, pay attention. Pay attention to the examples that are given. Pay attention to the points that are being stressed. Pay attention to the person's personality, to their vantage point on life. Try to understand their value system, because that's what you're going to work with in life. Last week we discussed the halachic process as a core value. How do I decide how I adhere to halacha? How I verify halacha? That was what we discussed last week to some degree. This week we're discussing a more global theme. What are our values? And I'm going to end with a little exercise that I recommend people do just before they're ready to get engaged. You sit down together on a date. You take a piece of paper, each one with a pen, and you write down, what are the 5 values that are important to you to give over to your children? And then you write down on the other side of the page, what do you believe your counterpart is writing? Are there 5 values that are important to give to their children? And after you've both written them down without conversing about it, you compare notes. And this will help you understand if you've understood one another. Do you understand her? What values did you think she was going to write? Compare them. Talk about it. Why did you write this, and what did she write, and why did she write that? That's just an exercise for the end. Don't do this on the third date. Do this on the 30th date, okay? Tov.